How do you like my drawing? Horrible, isn't it? I'm no Ruckman? Yeah, exactly. He definitely looks like the Beast, doesn't he? I know. Especially that stuff covering his face. All right, Daniel chapter 2. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your grace and your mercy to us, Lord. And we just ask you for your help today. And Lord, we sure need your help. And as we open your word and we talk about this image, Lord, we pray that you give us clarity on it. And Lord, that you would help us to understand what it is. And Lord, what you've set up. Lord, you gave this dream to King Nebuchadnezzar, Lord, and you gave it for a purpose. And Lord, help us to understand it. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we'll actually start at verse 36 today, but let's go back up to 31. Daniel 2:31. Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain, and filled the whole earth. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings. For the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven, hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. So here Nebuchadnezzar is called a king of kings. Now he is not the king of kings, he's just only a king of kings. And Jesus Christ is the King of Kings, and he is the one that's going to smite this image, as we saw last time. Now, based upon what these three verses, verses 36 to 38, he is an absolute dictatorship. What he said, it was supposed to be done, and if it was not done, someone's head came off. And so when King Nebuchadnezzar made a decree, it was done, and it could not be changed. Now, this head is of gold, and supposedly in measurements, it's supposed to weigh 19 times more than a cup of water. I didn't do these measurements, so I'm just going to take their word for it. A cup of gold, I guess, weighs 19 times more than a cup of water. And the chest of silver weighs about 10.47 times more than a cup of water. The belly and the arms of brass, if you had a cup of brass or something that weighed about the same, weighs 8 times more than a cup of water. And then you have the legs of iron, which weighs 5 times more than a cup of water. And then, of course, the toes of clay and iron weighs almost 2 times more than a cup of water. So we see automatically that the image is top-heavy. And when the stone hits the image, it knocks it off its feet. It crushes the toes and the feet. And, of course, it all comes crashing down into a pile of rubbish and a heap of minerals, and go from gold clear down to clay. So the deterioration of the times of the Gentiles is seen in the diminishing value of the metals. Gold to silver to brass to iron, and then to iron and clay mixed together. So if the world is getting better and better, the metals would have been in reverse order. In today's time, it would have been the gold. But that's not the way it is. It's not evolving, it's devolving. So evolution, that just disproves evolution right from the start. The image, of course, is standing from north to south. Look at verse 31. He says, "Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee." Now, this image is not laying down, but it's standing. And it's standing before the king. And remember, the king's lying down. The king's the one laying down. And he saw this image, and this stood before him. It's kind of like if I was standing next to my bed, and the wife is laying down there, and all of a sudden she wakes up, she's going to see me standing there, you know, and probably going to scare her half to death. But that's what this is like. And so this image is standing from north to south, and Daniel interprets Christ coming from the east, that this stone comes out of the east. And it hits the image in the feet, crumbling all the world empires. Now, verse 37 says that God gave Nebuchadnezzar this kingdom. Verse 38 says God made him ruler over all the kingdoms of the world. So up until after this time, Nebuchadnezzar controlled the whole known world. According to this, the Old Testament prophets saw six great world empires, of which were under the control of Satan, and who also, during that time, had oppressed Israel. Now, two of these empires came before Daniel. Those empires was Egypt and Assyria. Both of them threatened Israel at some point. Egypt tried to make the children of Israel, they're slaves. And of course, we know that even one of those pharaohs was an Assyrian. And so, according to the Bible in Exodus. And so, Egypt and Assyria was the two world empires before the time of Daniel. And now, those two of those empires are gone by the time Daniel shows up here. And now, Daniel, of course, is a witness of the next two, which is Babylon and Persia. We must remember that before Daniel was taken captive, Assyria was still the main world empire. Babylon conquered Assyria when Daniel was around 12 to 14 years old. And so Assyria had just been conquered by Nebuchadnezzar. The battles of Carchemish was where Nebuchadnezzar took the whole Babylonian Empire and went and fought in four battles of Carchemish. And, of course, he went up against Egypt, too. Later on, after Jeremiah is carried into captivity into Egypt, then Nebuchadnezzar goes down and takes over Egypt, and those captives wound up in Babylon. Now, Jeremiah himself died there in Egypt before they were taken away. And so in his visions, Daniel saw four oppressive empires: Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome. And in chapter 8, the second and third of these empires are identified. Here in chapter 2, they're not identified, but in chapter 7 and 8, they are. And so Daniel then knows who those other two empires are. But that was the information for Greece and Rome was not needed to give to Nebuchadnezzar. Persia had already been prophesied about during the time of Jeremiah. Jeremiah had said that Persia was going to take over Babylon, and so that prediction had already been made. So Daniel used some of the stuff that Jeremiah had used and could collaborate a lot about what was going on with Babylon. And so that's why he knows that. And Greece and Rome, he doesn't know about yet. And so that's revealed in later on in chapter 8, where they're identified. The book of Revelation adds two more oppressive empires. for a total of 8 empires, which were not revealed to Daniel. And just because they were not revealed to Daniel doesn't mean that they weren't any more important. But it was not needful in this dream for Nebuchadnezzar. All Nebuchadnezzar needed to know was that he was the head of gold, and who it was that was going to come up against Babylon later and take him. That's all Nebuchadnezzar needed to know. And so that's what God gives Daniel. In AD 90, the apostle John saw the beast with 7 heads. And so let's turn over to real quick to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. Now we're getting into some of pastor's teaching here pretty quick. But Revelation chapter 12, and look at verse 3, and there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now look at Revelation 13, verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the names of blasphemy. Chapter 17, look at verse 3. Chapter 17 and verse 3. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. Now we know that that's Roman Catholicism today. Even they say that's who they are. And so this beast with 7 heads and 10 horns, that's the same beast that Daniel describes but cannot give a name. He doesn't, all he tells you is what it looks like, but he doesn't know what it is. Well, this is the same beast. Look at verse 9, or verse 8. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The 7 heads are. So he's getting ready to tell you what this 7 heads are of this dragon. The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sitteth. So this woman sits on 7 mountains. We know that's Rome. This beast is Rome, according to this verse. These heads or mountains or empires are represented as 7 successive kings, Revelation 17:10. 5 of whom in John's day had already fallen. So there's a multiple meanings to this verse here, because these 7 heads are 7 mountains. Verse 10 says, and there are 7 kings. 5 are fallen, and 1 is, and the other is not yet come, and when he cometh, he must continue a short space. Now, these 5 that have fallen would be Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Persia, and Greece. Those are the ones that have fallen. Those are the 5 kings of Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Persia, and Greece. The interpreting angel explained to John that one empire remained. There in verse 10. One is still to come, and he cometh, he says. This would be number 6, the Roman Empire of New Testament times, which Daniel did not see. 6 is also the number of man. The 7th and last of these kings is not yet come, and when he comes, he must continue for a short space. That short space is 7 years. This will be the revived Roman Empire, which is actually of the six. The final phase of the great image of Daniel 2, the 10 toes, and also the 11th horn, the little horn, who will rise among the other 10 horns. Look at Daniel chapter 7. I know this is kind of confusing. Chapter 7 of Daniel and verse 8. Now this is the fourth beast, verse 7. And verse 8 says, I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. We know that's the Antichrist. This little horn is the Antichrist. Go back, please, to Revelation chapter 17. And look at verse 8. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. So Revelation 17:8 says, this beast with seven heads suddenly is not. In other words, he's killed. And then the beast reappears as the eighth world empire, though it is actually of the seven. That's what it says. And they that dwell on the earth did wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. So the kingdom of the beast is the eighth and the last greatest oppressor of Israel. The kingdom of Jesus Christ is the ninth empire. Nine is the number of fruitfulness and regeneration. And we know that the earth is regenerated during Christ's millennial reign, when he reigns on the earth. It's the number of fruitfulness and regeneration. Now back to Daniel chapter 2. We can let that go, I think. Back to Daniel chapter 2. And look at verse 38. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. Nebuchadnezzar ruled the whole known world at this time, like we've already said. Nebuchadnezzar was this head of gold. This took place in 606 B.C. historically, and he reigned to 536 B.C. Verse 39, and after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee. Is gold inferior to silver? No, it's not. Silver is inferior to gold. Silver is not worth more than gold is in price, and not even in looks, really. If I had a choice between silver and gold, I think I'd pick the gold. And then the end of verse 39, another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. So two kingdoms are mentioned in verse 39, the Medo-Persia and the Greece Empire. Now the chest and the arms of silver is Persia. Look at Daniel chapter 5 real quick. Daniel 5 and verse 30. Daniel 5:30, in that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. And Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. So here we find out that Media Persia comes in and destroys Babylon, and Belshazzar was slain. Now Media Persia, as we know, we probably already know this, but was a dual empire. And if the chest and the arms of Media Persia, you have two arms here representing a dual partnership. Media Persia was a military dictatorship. There were two generals that came in and destroyed Babylon in 536 BC. Darius was the one that killed Belshazzar. This empire lasted until 330 BC. This empire was represented by the two arms of the image and the two horns of the ram in chapter 7. The left arm, this one here, represented the Medes, and the left arm was always represented as being weaker. It's always the right hand of power, right? In everything in the Bible. So the left arm represented the Median Empire. The right arm represented the Persians as a stronger empire. The two generals was Darius and Cyrus. And these two generals is what is represented there. Darius was over the Medes. Cyrus was over the Persian. And you can see that in Daniel chapter 8, verse 20. This was prophesied of 100 years before Cyrus was even born. Turn to Isaiah 44. Isaiah 44, and we'll see where it's prophesied here. 100 years before this actually happened. And this is how Daniel, he could take this part of Isaiah and parts of Jeremiah and piece together what was going to happen to Babylon after 70 years. Isaiah 44, look at verse 28. "That saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple thy foundation shall be laid." Verse 1 of chapter 45. "Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden." So he's the right hand of the image. "To subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings, to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel." See how far I want to go down. Verse 4, "For Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, that thou hast not known me." Talking to Cyrus. He called his name Cyrus. Cyrus was foreordained to do two things: to besiege and to take Babylon, and number two, to issue an edict at the close of the captivity for the return of the Jews and the rebuilding of the temple. Look at Ezra chapter 1. After 2 Chronicles is Ezra. Ezra chapter 1, verse 1. "Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem." Now Jeremiah was mentioned there, and that is Jeremiah chapter 25, verses 12 and 13. It's also mentioned in Jeremiah 29, verse 10. So we don't have time to go look at those scriptures today. Now this third kingdom of brass is Greece, and it is the Alexander the Great. And you can see that in Daniel chapter 8, verse 21. Greece was a military aristocracy. Alexander broke the power of Media Persia. Actually, Persia, because Media was no more in power by this time. And so Alexander broke the power of Persia. What Alexander would do, see, Persia, when they went in to conquer, they took their whole mass armies and went up against them. Kind of like the 300 Spartans, you know, they would come up with their whole army and would come up against forces and whittle them down and break them because of the mass of the power. And Alexander didn't do that. He would take, I don't know, a mass of people, and he would continue to attack them. And sure, most of them may die, or he would pull back. And he would keep retreating and suck them in and wipe out a whole bunch, and then they would retreat and they'd come up against Greece again with their mass empire. Alexander would do the same thing. He would come up against them and pull back and retreat and suck them in again, and that's how he just broke them in pieces until finally Persia had to surrender. And man, history, I mean, Alexander was one of the greatest generals of his time, and boy, he had a mind for battling, and it was different than any other empire. And so the next is the legs of Rome, of iron, which is Rome. Rome was a republican monarchy, such as the Senate or the Caesars, and Rome was noted for her iron rule. And they tried to rule over Israel with a rod of iron, you know, and that's where that comes from. It actually comes from Christ, because Christ will also rule with an iron rod of iron later. But in 364 AD, Rome was divided into the Eastern and Western Roman Empires. And, you, of course, the image has two legs, and it's divided into the Eastern and the Western Roman Empires. Now, if you were looking at this from north to south, this would be east and this would be west, correct? The stone's going to come out of the east, hitting the eastern side, knocking it off its feet. And the two legs represent the Eastern and the Western Roman Empire. And in verse 42, when you take clay and mix it with any other mineral, it'll be weak. It becomes weak, and that's why I have little feet. They're just weak feet. I could have given them big feet, I guess, but yes, sir. Okay. Right. It's true. Oh, okay. I don't have that, I don't think, here. But yeah, no, you're right. I didn't think of that, where that gold and the silver is made. But yeah. Everything, yes. Yes. Amen. So you have verse 42 there, where you take the clay and mix it with any other mineral. You have part of iron, Rome, and part of clay, which is Constantinople. Constantinople, each Eastern and Western in your history had its own capital. And for both Eastern and Western empires had their own capital. One capital was in Rome, the other was in Constantinople. The capital in Constantinople did not last, it was weak. So therefore, it's the clay. Rome, of course, lasts even till today, and so that was the strength of the whole Roman Empire. And, of course, today the capital still is Rome, right? It's still in Italy. And now, as the verse 42 says, "And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay." Now, I want to show you something else really quick. The toes correspond with the 10 horns of the fourth beast in Daniel chapter 7, verses 23 and 24. I'll go ahead and go on over there and read it really quick. It says, "Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise. And another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings." Okay, so now we get into something here that's a little bit more, there's a little bit more to just what it talks about for the image. I turn over to Revelation 17. There's a verse here that we're going to need. John talks about this same thing. So here you have the eastern and the western capitals, Constantinople and Rome. And then you have the toes correspond with the ten horns of this beast here in chapter 7. Look at Revelation 17, verse 3 again. It says, having seven heads and ten horns, the very last phrase there. Seven heads and ten horns. And then look at verse 12. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kingdoms, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. So they're going to rule for 1 hour with the beast, and then something's going to happen. The beast is going to kill them, basically, and they're going to be taken over. Now look at Daniel chapter 7. Keep your finger there in Revelation 17. Daniel 7, verse 24. And the ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them. So now we know what the ten horns are. They're ten kings. The ten toes of the statue represent the ten kings that will rule over the region of the former Roman dominion. The iron and the clay represent an unstable government, which will continue until the reign of Jesus Christ in the millennial reign. In the future, there will be a revived Roman Empire that will come during when the Antichrist starts to sit on the throne in Jerusalem. And we read about that in the next verses there in Daniel chapter 2. And look at verse 42. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings are, I've circled the word these, and ran it up and circled the two they in verse 43. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. And of course, that's the millennial reign. Now, this kingdom of the Antichrist is the kingdom of the beast as well. It's the revived Roman Empire. This kingdom is still yet to come. And this kingdom will be a democratic, socialistic, communistic country or kingdom, and will be set up in the tribulation about 3.5 years into the tribulation. Now, Luke 21:24 talks about the times of the Gentiles. The times of the Gentiles is from 606 BC to the millennium. I'll get into this later. I should probably stop right there. Let's go ahead and break.